Welcome to the Voice of Hope, Pastor Andy Clark. I trust you've had a good week walking with the Lord. This is the first time for me to have Voice of Hope on Sasa Radio. And my name is Pastor Andy Clark. I'm from America, and I've been on the radio in Kenya since 2013. But God has opened the door for me to come on Sasa Radio to bring the good news of Jesus Christ to you every Sunday from 7:30 to 8 o'clock. So you can listen to Voice of Hope with Pastor Andy Clark every Sunday from 7:30 to 8 o'clock. And since this is my first time on Sasa Radio, I'm going to tell a bit about myself and introduce myself so you can know who I am and who it is that's bringing this good news of Jesus Christ to you every Sunday. I was born in Liberia, Africa. My parents went as missionaries from America to Liberia, West Africa, in 1949, and I was born in Liberia, Africa in 1952. My parents in Liberia went into areas that had never heard the preaching of the gospel of Jesus Christ, and they got many people saved and started many churches in Liberia. But when I was 6 years old, my parents felt God calling them to go to the country of Guinea to work with a tribe called the Susu tribe in Guinea that were all Muslim. There was no Christian witness among the Susu tribe. And my dad always had a desire to pioneer churches or start churches or preach the gospel where it had never been preached before. And so God had opened the door for him to move to the Susu tribe that was all Muslim. And the Guinean government, they gave us permission to move there, but they said they couldn't guarantee our protection, that we were going there on our own risk. And so I was 6 years old at the time. I had another brother who was 4 years old and a third brother who had been born who was 2 years old. So all three of us, 6, 4, and 2, moved to Guinea, Africa. And my dad began this work among the Susu people. And even though the people listened to the gospel of Jesus Christ, because being Muslim, they were not wanting to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ or receive Jesus as your Savior. And people who were very strict Muslims, they did not like us being there at all. And they robbed from us, and my dad was beaten several times, but my dad refused to leave because my dad had a burden for the Muslim people in Guinea. And so my dad worked there. We worked there in Guinea for 12 years. And my dad translated the New Testament into the Susu language and the first four books of the Old Testament into the Susu language in Guinea. And he slowly began to evangelize the people. Some people began to accept Jesus Christ as their Savior. God began to do some miracles. My dad was able to establish the first church among the Susu tribe in Guinea. And I remember those days. Those days were often very difficult. We were not allowed to go out freely where we wanted to go because there was a chance that we may be attacked or suffer danger from people who didn't want us there. But I remember every morning hearing my dad get up and pray. My dad prayed every morning from 5 until 6 o'clock. And I would remember waking up as a child, hearing my dad crying out in prayer for the Susu people in Guinea, for the Guinean people. Even though they persecuted us, even though they stole from us, and my dad got beaten by them, he still prayed and cried out for the souls of the Susu people because he understood that the gospel of Jesus Christ is the power of God unto salvation. We see that in Romans 1:16. Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation for everyone who believes. So no matter what environment we're in, no matter where we are, whether people like us or not, we should never be ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Paul was constantly bold about the gospel of Jesus Christ. Paul was never ashamed of the gospel. Paul was beaten because of the gospel. He was put in prison. He was stoned, suffered many things because of the gospel of Jesus Christ. But Paul continued to preach the gospel because Paul was persuaded that the gospel of Jesus Christ could save every person. And I and my dad was persuaded the gospel of Jesus Christ could save those Muslim people from hell and from the life they had, and to give them life abundantly. Jesus said, "The enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy, but I have come to give you life and life more abundantly." Abundant life comes through Jesus Christ. The enemy steals from us, destroys the things we have. He kills people. The enemy is very wicked. The enemy is Satan and his demonic forces. And the only way to get free from Satan is through Jesus Christ. And Paul said, "I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God unto salvation." That word salvation is in the original Greek language, which the Bible was written in. It meant salvation from everything. It meant salvation to go to heaven. It meant salvation from sickness, salvation from poverty. See, Paul believed the gospel of Jesus Christ could answer the needs of every person. He says, "It is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes." So the gospel is the same in America. It's the same in Africa. It's the same in India. It's the same everywhere. The gospel of Jesus Christ has the power to save people from their sin, to save people from the works of the devil, to save people from sickness and from disease, to save people from poverty. The gospel of Jesus Christ has great power, and that's why I have the Voice of Hope, because I want to bring the gospel of Jesus Christ to people so they can be encouraged in the Lord and get set free from the bondages they're in. Maybe today you're bound by Satan. Maybe today you're bound by sin. You know, sin is a terrible thing. Sin separates us from God. But you need to accept Jesus as your Savior, and you can be set free from the power of sin and the power of Satan. As the Bible says, if you confess your sins, He is faithful and just to forgive you of your sin and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. Peter said in Acts chapter 2, repent, be baptized, and receive the Holy Spirit. That was what they needed to do to be saved. He said, what must we do to be saved? He said, repent of your sin. That means turn away from your sin. Be baptized, which is a symbol that you've given your life to Christ. You've died to your old self, and follow Jesus Christ. So if you're not a Christian today, I encourage you to become a Christian. I encourage you to confess your sins, repent, turn away from, give your life to Jesus Christ. Say, Jesus, I thank you for dying on the cross for my sin. I thank you that you rose again. You conquered death, hell, and the grave. And Lord Jesus, I invite you into my life. Forgive me my sins and help me to walk in a way that's pleasing to you. I give my life to you to follow you all the days of my life. When you accept Jesus as your Savior, you're born again. You become a child of God, and you come into all the blessings of God. So my father, for 12 years, dedicated himself to reaching the Muslim people. And it was a very slow, hard work, but God slowly began to reach more and more Muslims to Jesus Christ among the Susu people. I also remember one thing when I was a child. When I was about 10 years old, my father was a village of people who had leprosy in the area we were in. And they could not live with the Muslim people because the Muslim people rejected them. So they had their own little village that were just people who had leprosy. And no one would go to that village because they were afraid of leprosy, and so they had nothing to do with them. But my father, because he had a burden for people, he would go and preach to these lepers about Jesus Christ. And he would go and he would spend time with them. You know, many of these lepers, they didn't have fingers. Their fingers were gone from leprosy. Their nose was gone from leprosy. Their ears were gone from leprosy. They had all kinds of sores all over their body. And my dad would sit down and eat with these people because he knew that if he reached them in love, the love of Jesus Christ would change these people's lives. And I remember when I was 10 years old, I went and watched my father sit down and eat with these people. And my father demonstrated to me the love of God for every person. It says, the Bible says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. God loves the world. God loves every kind of people, no matter how bad they are, no matter what's going on. God loves every kind of people And he sent Jesus Christ, his only son, to die on the cross to save us from our sin and to give us eternal life and to give us victory in this life and to help us walk this life that we have here on earth. And so my dad would go every week to this village of lepers and talk to them about Jesus Christ. And because my father showed love toward these people, the whole village accepted Christ as their personal savior. My father built a church there, began to minister in that church, started a Bible school, and now he started a Bible school to reach the Susu people. Now there are many churches among the Susu people in Guinea, Africa, because my father had the courage to go in and start a work for Jesus Christ where it had never been done before. So I lived in Guinea until I was 16 years old. And I watched my father work among the Guinean people, and he gave me, my father's example gave me a love for people and a belief in the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ to change people's lives. And so when I was 16, we left Guinea, we went back to America, and I finished my education in America. My parents went on to be missionaries in another country, and I remained in America, finished my education, finished secondary school. I got a job as a construction welder, worked as a construction welder for 3 years, was enjoying life in America. God was blessing. I was evangelizing people in America. I was a youth leader in my church. I got engaged to a very nice Christian girl, and I thought I was going to live the rest of my life in America. And then one day, I went to a conference, and the man speaking at this conference talked about missions. And talked about what God was doing around the world, how God was moving around the world, and how God was moving in Africa in great ways. And the Holy Spirit began to stir my heart to go as a missionary. And so it was a very hard decision because I liked where I lived. I was living in a comfortable house, had a car, was engaged to be married, had a good job. Everything was very fine for me. I was involved in my church, had a lot of friends. But, you know, sometimes God calls us on a journey of faith. You know, in the Bible, it talks about Abraham. And Abraham, by faith, left his own country and went to a place he did not know because God promised that he would bless Abraham and that he would be a blessing to many people and be a blessing to the world. And so God called me, like he called Abraham, to leave my home, to leave everything I had, to follow him, and he would use me to be a blessing to many nations and to encourage many nations. So I followed the call of God. It was very difficult. The girl I was engaged to marry, she didn't want to be a missionary. And so I said kwaheri to her and kwaheri to my house and my good job and all my friends. And I went off to Bible school for 4 years. And I began to study the Word of God for 4 years, preparing myself to be a missionary. And after graduating from Bible school, I went as a missionary to the country of Haiti, which is close to America. My father had been was a missionary in Haiti, and I went down to work with my father in Haiti. And he was establishing Bible schools in Haiti. So I went down to Haiti. I learned the Haitian language Creole, and I began to work with some friends doing evangelism all over Haiti, showing the Jesus film, preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ, praying for people, seeing people saved and healed. And then after working in evangelism for 3 years with these friends of mine, I began to help my father with Bible school. And then my father left Haiti, and I continued the work of establishing Bible schools in Haiti. And I lived for a total of 9 years in Haiti, and I established Bible schools for three different organizations in Haiti, training pastors and church leaders in the Word of God. In my 7th year in Haiti, a young lady from America came to Haiti to visit some friends of mine, and she was a very nice-looking, friendly young lady who had a desire to be a missionary. And so we got to know each other a little bit, and after 6 months, we got married, and we lived in Haiti for another year and a half, and then God called us to Kenya. So we left Haiti and went to Kenya, and we arrived in Kenya in 1987, and we settled in the city of Bungoma here in Western Kenya. And we worked in Western Kenya for 8 years. 4 of those years we lived in Bungoma, and 4 years we lived in Kitale. We love Kenya very much. I traveled around, visited lots of churches all over Kenya, and then started a Bible school in Kenya and Uganda. 24 study books, and with the help of some Kenyans, I translated the 24 books into Swahili. In Uganda, with some help of some friends, I translated the 24 books into Luganda for Uganda. And so I established a Bible school in each country, and I worked in Kenya for 8 years. We have three children. Our oldest, Kevin, was born in Kenya, and our youngest, Nicole, was born in Kenya. And Nicole had begun to have some problems when she was a baby, an infant, when she was 6 months old. And we went to America to help get her cured, and she was having seizures and everything. And so they were able to stop the seizures. We came back and worked in Kenya for 2 more years. And then in 1997, we left Kenya and moved back to America so we could get the help we needed for Nicole, our special needs daughter. And so I've been working in America since 1997. For 9 years, I worked establishing a Bible school here in America. You know, God has called me to teach the Word of God. I established Bible schools everywhere I went. So I started to establish a Bible school for 9 years, working with a church called the House of Prayer, which is now Hope Point Church in America. And then I began to get involved in missions again, and I established my own mission organization, which is called Equipping the Nations. And my desire is to equip the nations and equip the church in the Word of God and to equip them to do the work of the ministry. And so I've continued to live in the States. I still attend the church, Hope Point Church in America. But through my mission organization, I work in Kenya, Uganda, and Burundi. And I have Bible schools in Kenya, Uganda, and Burundi. I'm also getting ready to travel in August to Rwanda to start a Bible school in Rwanda. I have a friend of mine who's establishing a Bible school in the Congo. And so God has put on my heart to have Bible schools in 5 East Africa nations. And that's what I'm praying and believing for in 2025. You know, God spoke to me at the beginning of the year that 2025 is a year of God's grace and favor. And you know, in the Hebrew language, which the New Old Testament was written in the Hebrew language, that was the language of the Jews, the number 5 stands for favor. So 5 means favor. And so 2025, God spoke to me, 2025 is the year of multiplied grace and favor, because 5 times 5 equals 25. So 2025 is a year of multiplied grace and favor. So God wants to pour His grace and favor on people who follow Him and do His will. And so God has called me to establish 5 Bible schools in 5 nations in 2025. I can't do this by my own power, but by the enablement of the Holy Spirit and the power of the Holy Spirit, I know God will enable me to accomplish this. And the reason I do Bible school is one of the greatest things that we need to do is know the Word of God. Because the Word of God is very powerful. We must live our life according to the Word of God. You know, in Psalms chapter 1, verse 1 through 3, David talks about the Word of God and how important the Word of God is. So in Psalms chapter 1, verse 1, David says, "Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the paths of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful." So David's warning is what not to do. He says, don't walk in the counsel of ungodly people. That is, don't receive counsel or from ungodly people, people who don't know God. We need to receive counsel from people who know God, who know the will of God, who know the Word of God. Receive counsel from godly people. Don't receive counsel from ungodly people. Don't stand in the path of sinners. Was don't stand with sinners. Don't spend all your time talking with people who are sinners. because the kind of friend you have is the kind of person you'll become. So spend time with people of God. Don't spend all your time with people who walk in sin and disobedience of God, because they will take you away from God. You know, we have a proverb in America, you know a person by the kinds of friends he has. So you want to surround your friends with godly, you want to surround yourself with godly friends. Friends that know the word of God, friends that follow God, friends who do the will of God, friends who love God. And surround yourself with those kinds of friends. So he says, don't stand in the paths of sinners and don't sit in the seat of scornful. Scornful means you mock other people, or you mock the gospel of Jesus Christ, or you make fun of people. He says, and don't sit in the seat of scornful. So you go from walking to standing to sitting. So you may walk with some ungodly people. If you're not careful, next thing you know, you're standing with them, and next thing you know, you're sitting with them. And you become more and more involved with these people, and these people take you away from God. So David warns us, don't do these things. But he says, but blessed is the man, verse 2, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, in the word of God. In his law, in the word of God, he meditates day and night. See, in David's day, they didn't have the whole Bible like we had. They just had the Jewish laws. So for David, he said, I meditate on God's laws day and night. I delight in God's laws. For us, we call it the Word of God. So you need delight in the Word of God. Delight means you really like something. You know, maybe you like ugali and cuckoo. Well, you delight in ugali and cuckoo. Well, you need to delight in the Word of God. That's what David says. If you delight in, blessed is the person who delights in the Word of God. He meditates on, thinks about it day and night, always thinking about the Word of God. You know, the Word of God is the revelation of God. The more you know the Word of God, the more you understand God. A lot of people, they follow the world because they don't understand God. But when you give your life to Jesus Christ and become a follower of Jesus Christ, you need to understand God. You need to understand Jesus Christ. And you do that through the Word. So David says, blessed is the man who delights in the Word of God, and the Word, and he meditates on the Word of God day and night. Then he says in verse 3, and he will be like a tree planted by rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. So David said, the person that delights in the Word of God, loves the Word of God like ugali and cuckoo, loves the Word of God. The person who loves the Word of God and thinks about the Word of God day and night, he said he is going to be like a tree that's planted by a river of water. It always brings forth its fruit in its season. Its leaf shall not wither. Why will the leaf not wither? Because it's planted by the river of water. And that river of water is the Holy Spirit. That river of water is the Word of God. That river brings life. Jesus said, I am the living water. I bring life to people. As you meditate on the Word of God, meditate upon Jesus Christ. Think about Jesus Christ. Now, I encourage you, spend time in the Gospels of Jesus Christ. Spend time reading Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, because that is the story of Jesus Christ. And the more time you read the story of Jesus Christ, the better you'll understand how Jesus lived, and the more you'll understand how Jesus wants you to live. Because we're supposed to be, as Christians, we are supposed to be imitators of Jesus Christ. The word Christian in the New Testament, in the early church, meant a little Christ. So they said the people who follow Jesus are Christians. They're like a little Christ, because they, when they saw Christians, they saw Jesus Christ. See, and there's a proverb we use in the church that we ask ourselves all the time. When you come into a problem or come into a situation that you're facing, you ask, what would Jesus do? If you have someone that's making fun of you, you ask, what would Jesus do? If someone is speaking evil of you, what would Jesus do? Whatever you're facing, ask, what would Jesus do? And you see, the more you study the Gospels of Jesus Christ, the more you understand what Jesus would do, and the more you'll become like Jesus Christ. And so he says, the one who meditates on the Word of God day and night, he'll be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth fruit in its season, and its leaf shall not wither, and whatever that person does will prosper. See, prosperity does not come from the world. Prosperity comes from Jesus Christ. True prosperity comes from Jesus Christ. Prosperity is not just money. Prosperity is walking in love, joy, and peace. Prosperity is overcoming the work of the enemy. Prosperity is walking in the power of God. See, prosperity is not just money. The world has money, but they don't have the love of Jesus. They don't have the peace of Jesus. They don't have the joy of Jesus. You know, they don't walk in the power of Jesus Christ. See, prosperity is becoming like Jesus. See, Jesus didn't have lots of clothes. He didn't have a nice house. He didn't have a car. He didn't have any of those things. But Jesus walked in prosperity. He walked in the authority of God. Jesus said, whatever I only do what the Father shows me to do, and I only speak what the Father tells me to speak. He said, when you have seen me, you've seen the Father. And so Jesus walked in the authority of the Father. He didn't walk in the authority of man. He walked in the authority of Father God. So thousands followed him. He healed the sick, raised the dead, because his prosperity was to do the will of the Father. Jesus said, my meat, the thing that gives me energy, my meat, is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. So God is calling us into a place where we walk in his blessing. We walk in his blessing by knowing the word of God, by meditating on the word of God, and then he will prosper us in all we do. In Romans 12:2, it says, do not be conformed to the world, but be transformed by renewing your mind, that you may prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Don't be like the world. Don't be like the world, but be transformed. Change by the renewing of your mind, changing the way you think through the word of God. Then you will know the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So I want to invite you to listen to the Voice of Hope every Sunday on SaSa Radio, every Sunday from 7:30 to 8 o'clock to receive an encouraging word from the Lord. You can also go to my website, voiceofhopetoday.org, voiceofhopetoday.org, and you can read other things about me. Also, my Facebook page is Voice of Hope with Pastor Andy Clark. Voice of Hope with Pastor Andy Clark. That's my Facebook page. And you can read other things about me. If you want prayer or something or want an encouraging word, I would encourage you to contact Alex Achuti. And he is a good friend of mine. He's a Christian counselor in Bungoma. His number is 727-403-197. Alex's number is 727-403-197. Share with him that you listen to the Voice of Hope. Let him pray with you. Share a testimony you may have. And so I just pray today that God encourages you by his power. Lord God, I pray for every person listening to the Voice of Hope today, Lord God. Encourage them by your Holy Spirit, Lord God. Meet their need. Thank you that the gospel of Jesus Christ is the power of God to heal, save, and deliver. And Lord, I just release your healing power over the Voice of Hope to every person who's sick. Prosper them, bless them as they pursue and follow after you. In Jesus' name, amen. So have a good week walking with the Lord, and Lord willing, you will listen to me again. Invite your friends to listen to the Voice of Hope every Sunday on SaSa Radio from 7:30 to 8:30 p.m. Sunday evening. May God bless you and have a great week. Bye-bye.